It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. As this show was beginning, Lance Zierlein was filming something for social media, because our social media person knows it's baseball season, so she's going to provide baseball content for the people. So coming soon, you'll see a lot of us. I've tried to get out of this. I'm still fighting the good fight. We've been asked to pick our favorite songs that we think would be walk-up songs for, let's say we play for the Astros or any other Major League Baseball team. We pick a walk-up song. It gets filmed. Maybe we talk about it. So be ready for that. I'm not going to give away what Lance picked, but it isn't his real song. He's a phony. He had to pick a song he thought would go over well. That'll come at some point from all of us. John's going to be back in town tomorrow because we're going to be out at East River 9, so he'll do it as well. We'll all do it. You'll see that as we get ever closer to baseball season, right around the corner, right, with the Astros solidifying their final opening day roster. And got to give some credit to Sean. We talked about this yesterday. Why were they making this decision so drawn out, the Cam Smith announcement? It turns out they need to fly his family in and film it for social media. Before we get cynical about it, because we will do that here, we will start the nonsense pretty early because I have thoughts on how that all came about. What happened was the Astros flew Cam Smith's parents in, and they made the announcement to their son. They let him know. They told him, hey, You're on the big league club. You get to start with the Astros. And, of course, that means he's going to start in right field. He'll be your opening day right fielder. So let's get to the sentimental part of it first. Cam Smith, after being told, was very emotional. He was in tears minutes even after that, talking to the media. It's got to be a big day for him. And what a rise from Florida State baseball player to a Cub on the minor league level, barely played any double-A games, and now you're the starting right fielder for an AL contender. A team I don't even know if he loves Major League Baseball as far as watching it. Because, you know, some guys love playing, but they don't care about watching the sport. But if he does watch the sport, and he did over the last decade, this is one of the best teams of baseball. So he's joining a big-time baseball organization. He's going to start for them, and they need him. So we got the sound saved over there of Cam Smith talking about getting the call and being a right fielder. And he's very emotional, very happy from the moment. Here's Cam Smith.
Amazing, amazing. I said there's no bad days in Dinkin Park, and I'm going to be able to live that out, you know, starting Thursday. So I can't wait. I can't wait. Bring it on.
A lot's happened. Today alone, a lot's happened. Will it help to have tomorrow to kind of digest before you get out there? Because I know you want to succeed and you want to help this team a great deal.
Yeah, 100%. Just to get my feet under myself and to realize that, you know, I'm an Astro now. So it's go time.
That's Cam Smith. It's go time. Everyone got what they wanted, right? This was what people were hoping for as soon as they saw him. Hell, the guys who cover the team were very impressed just him walking off the bus and walking into the facility. But once he got on the field and people saw him, it was like, all right, this has to happen. And he didn't give the Astros any reason not to do it. When you have a young player like that, I assume you're looking for reasons not to go with maybe your instinct of playing him. Maybe the instinct is just not to play him. He's young. Let's not throw him into the fire. But he made it so they had no choice. He didn't give them a reason to say we're gonna start you off someplace else. So credit to him, and you have an outfield of at least, it's crazy, your two solidified spots right now Arcan Smith and Altuve, it feels like. And then center field is, well, it could be McCormick some days, Jake Meyers other days, maybe someone else is playing out there depending on the day. But your corner outfield guys are not outfielders. We're going to say poorly constructed, but maybe they hit on something, and they're very fortunate to have done it. Comes off a trade that they felt like they had to make because they didn't want to be in a situation that they were in with Bregman, with Kyle Tucker, where you were going to lose that guy for nothing. And I appreciate it from the Astros, because another year and then an offseason of, will Kyle Tucker come back off the backs of the Bregman one, would have been too much. So they get a guy, and of course, Paredes is part of that as well, and he is going to be your starting third baseman. So Dana Brown's getting a lot of credit for hitting on Cam Smith and getting Paredes as well in the deal as your starting third baseman. Who would have thought you got two starters out of a Kyle Tucker trade?
Boom. Fleeced. And 9 combined years before you have to pay them.
That's always so important to baseball people.
Yeah.
Baseball's
really a game about not paying your players.
It's really about exploitation of your players.
Yeah. Never mind that, you know, Dodgers won the World Series, Yankees lost the World Series, Mets played in the NLCS. Never mind that all the teams that pay their guys, like, actually go far in the playoffs. No, it's about not paying your guys.
Now the Astros will tell you, and defenders of the Astros will tell you, their payroll's pretty high, which it is.
Yes.
They just have a certain price point, and if you are an established player on their team, we wave goodbye to you in quick fashion.
They like to spread the money around.
Yes, to players that won't cost them 30-plus over the next six seasons.
They will. I mean, they're paying $36 million for Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu.
But they understand that was a mistake.
Okay.
They understand.
But also, it was a short-term deal.
Yes.
So it was only 2.5 wasted years,
yes,
of a 3-year deal.
That's what they would say. Yes, we made a bad decision, but we didn't make it over the course of a half a decade as far as the length of the contract. And it's been a good way of going about it. And if you're going to hit on Cam Smith, it's even more validation for the way they operate. You trade Kyle Tucker, who the Cubs may or may not keep past this year, and you get his replacement immediately. Before you play your next meaningful game, you have your replacement in place.
The guy literally doesn't play a minor league game for you.
Yes.
You trade for a minor leaguer that immediately starts.
And if he happens to play a minor league game for you this year, means something went wrong, or he's on a rehab assignment because he got hurt, which means something else went wrong. So,
yeah. Fleeced.
I can't say they fleeced anyone because
they haven't actually played.
Yes. I see the talk of Dana Brown cooked, he fleeced. Mm-hmm. And then if Kyle Tucker has a great year and the Cubs re-sign him, and Cam Smith, if he struggles as a rookie, then who got fleeced? I wouldn't say the Astros did, but I certainly wouldn't say the Cubs did. It all depends on what happens when, you know, a season is actually played and the future plays out. Nah. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't take things and put some context around them. I should immediately react to everything.
No, pretend, fleeced.
Like, the moment
they got fleeced.
In the moment, this matters now and in the future, and nothing else would change.
We have to be like, thank God that the Astros are calling up a guy who is going to play like the least amount of minor league games in MLB history before making his debut.
And it's all going to work out.
And yeah, it's all going to work out. But if he does have a stretch where he's like 2-for-40, then we get to play the other side. Be like, what the hell is Dana Brown thinking?
Yeah. Either way,
we win. That's awesome.
It's great. As long as we want to be reactionary to everything. Yeah. Pick a side.
And we know the Astros are going to, you know, be in that 80 to 90 win range. So they're probably going to, you know, at least be in the playoff hunt for most of the year.
Uh-huh.
We come out on top. It's going to be a pretty good team. And if Cam Smith is awesome, we get to pull up the pom-poms. And if he stinks, then pitchforks.
Do you think we should have a Kyle Tucker tracker as well this baseball season?
I'll keep an eye on him.
Keep an update on what he's doing.
I'll just see what's up.
So we can go day to day judging if the trade is good or not.
Yeah, we'll just try to find a stat every uh, I don't know, once a week.
Once a week, we'll do a Kyle Tucker update just to keep track of how things are going.
And then I'll look for the stat where Cam Smith or Isak Paredes are better than him and go fleeced.
Fleeced or not fleeced?
Yeah.
It's the game we'll play week to week.
Michael,
get on that production. Fleeced or not fleeced?
Cam Smith is going to, when they play the Cubs in Wrigley, he's going to hit a home run. And when he goes in the dugout, he's going to go, Kyle Tucker over me? Like he's Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler had a not-so-great night, at least on the court.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it goes better.
If we're fans of Cam Smith, we're going to need him to play a lot better than Jimmy did against his old team. Although, how many times is Cam Smith actually going to play the Cubs over the course of the next 5 years?
Yeah, like 3 games a year.
Yeah, maybe. So, and Jimmy gets 2 a year if he's available. He was available last night. Did not go well.
Oh, he was? All I saw was pods out there.
You make a point. We'll move on to more from the NBA with the Rockets, certainly. And also, we'll hear the announcement being made in the clubhouse and the rather tepid reaction from the players as Cam Smith's family walks in and tells them he's on the roster. But the Warriors fans, not that there are many here, but there's some. We see them out at games when they're in town. Get ready. And mostly you guys are Steph fans. Get ready for like 60 more of those games from Jimmy over the course of the next 2 seasons. The hey, did Jimmy play? That's part of the lore with Jimmy Butler, where the playoff Jimmy thing exists because he's so much better in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. He takes a much more aggressive approach. So when you think you need him the most because Steph is out and you don't want to lose a game to a bad team, that's the game where he shoots like 13 times and scores 12 points. That's what it is. That's what he is. Now, the silent part that maybe no one is saying is he may not be capable of giving you 30 when you need it the most. It might not be in his bag anymore. He is 35, 36 years old. Just comfort yourself with knowing that playoff Jimmy is coming. Of course, the last time playoff Jimmy was a thing, he didn't even make it to the playoffs. He got hurt in a play-in game. And that was really his final real act as a member of the Heat. So that happened last night. The Warriors are a pretty good team. They played a bad team, but it was a giant story because of the return of all people, Jimmy Butler, to Miami. But the Rockets played last night as well. They were great for about 2/4 and 3/4 of the third, and then it all turned. But they found a way to pull it out. So we'll talk about that. But we will hear the clubhouse reaction to the Cam Smith announcement when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I know it's a big thing when a player gets called up, and usually when it's filmed for social media, we see it on the minor league level. Like the minor league manager will tell the player, hey, you're going up to the show, things like that. And it goes viral and people love it. I don't remember ever seeing it. I'm not saying it's never happened. I don't remember ever seeing it in the major league clubhouse. And that's partly how this Cam Smith story is unique. I don't remember ever seeing them back in town in the major league clubhouse telling the guy he's made the team with all the guys waiting around. So that's the setup of what you're about to hear. It comes from the Astros social media. So it was certainly a plan, and that's why I said in the first segment, Sean suggested this might be the case. Cam Smith's announcement as far as his making the major league roster wasn't public because they wanted to do something for it. Shout out to Gusto for not getting that. Just getting the customary, hey, you made the team. Hey, you made the team. Cool.
Maybe whip together a Twitter graphic or something.
Maybe, but you're not getting a video. You're not, your family's not flying in. So this is what you're going to hear. Joe Espada talking about what it means to be a major leaguer in dreams. Then he does a little bit that maybe we'll take his acting to account because we talked about Jerry Jones being great at it. I don't know if Joe Espada matches what Jerry Jones put out on Landman. So here it is. The announcement to the team and to Cam Smith that he had made the roster.
Well, my dream was one day I became a major league manager. I wanted to make this special for someone.
and I'm about to do that. I always said, like, if someone tells me, Joe, you're going to the big leagues, who will be the first person you will call? Who will be the first person you will call? I say my mom, my dad, my family, right? Because I think you want to share with someone who's been there for you from day one. Little league, travel ball, good days, bad days. So we're about to do that right now. So I'm going to make a phone call to someone, and that someone's going to come out here.
It's got a special announcement to do, okay? Let's see if I can find this number.
Here's the acting.
Hello? Are you here? Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, as I said, the Astros flew the parents in, Cam Smith's parents in, to make the announcement. So did Joe Spada, hello, are you here? He wasn't sure that they were outside waiting, or was it something where they had to edit, hey, I'm going to make a call. Hey, make sure they're in. Oh, they're here. Let's bring them in. I'm going to give his acting C+.
Yeah.
C+.
I think it was like, what would you say if you're actually calling someone and like meeting up with, like someone was having to meet you somewhere? You go, oh, are you here yet?
Yeah.
But it's like, for this whole thing to work, even, it doesn't.
Did he even?
Of course they're here.
Did he dial the phone? Did he hit a button, more like it? No one's dialing the phone. Did he hit a contact number?
I think he did.
Okay, so someone actually talked to him on the phone and said, I'm here. Or were they waiting off screen and out of view, and then they heard him say, hey, are you here? And they walked in.
But, I think it works better if there's an actual phone call as the cue to come in.
Okay.
Then, like,
they're just like, yes, and they walk
put your
in.
Put your ear up against the clubhouse door and see what Joe Espada, try to figure what Joe Espada is saying.
So that was
also can we put a mic on?
I mean, if you're gonna make a social media, why do I have to enhance his level so much to even hear it? Hey, get it together. You had all that time to prepare. Yeah,
you made us wait.
Yeah, put a mic on. You made us wait this long for this obvious thing to happen. You didn't have a mic on him, but either way. That's us being cynical. But if we want to be, you know, regular human beings, it's a good moment, a great moment for Cam Smith. If you heard the emotion from his mom as she was there to let him know. Now, the players, on the other hand, the clapping, by the way, I had to enhance things to make it loud enough for you guys here. The clapping sounds like it's enthusiastic.
Applause.
Yeah, it wasn't really.
It was clapping.
It was more clapping,
it
not
was
applause.
Clapping, not applause.
No, it was more like, oh, we're supposed to clap here?
Yeah. This is where we clap. Okay.
And they did. The faces of the players suggested, well, I got Joe Spot up here acting. Can we get out of here? What are we sitting here for? Why do we have to be here for this?
I think
the moment's cooler if I hear about it, not shown it, because it makes it seem what it was, this pre-planned event that we wanted to get for the socials. Like if they flew the family in and it's a surprise and Cam is maybe in Joe Spada's office and it happens and we hear that story, cool. But this, while what actually is happening as far as what's going to be Cam Smith as an Astro, that's cool. But this made for social media moment, I could have missed it.
Yeah. Normally these things happen in the manager's office. They're like, I want to call you into the office to talk to you. And then normally it's some sort of slow wind up too. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the show.
Yep.
I feel like you could have had his parents walk into a spot as off. Like, you could have just done the same thing, just not include 30 guys who are sitting with their arms folded. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
Until they find out what's going on.
This is the first. This is the first time I remember the Astros ever doing this. I don't remember one of these for like Bregman back in the day.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong, and there was one.
Maybe it's a different. Now that happened quite a while ago, so it's different. World, I guess, as far as social media is concerned, but I don't remember seeing any major league club do it in this fashion, where it's everybody on the club waiting for this.
Yeah, again, this is what college teams do when a walk-on gets a scholarship.
Yes,
like when they announce that it's like after practice. And by the way, those guys are normally way more excited for for their guy than this.
Very happy because they know what it means. Like Cam Smith, one way or the other.
So does.
But Cam Smith, one way or the other, is going to get the shot.
I guess.
You would assume. The walk-on means, I don't have to pay for school anymore. That's major.
Yeah, but the Cam Smith is, I get a major league contract now.
They care less about that. They're okay. Like, whatever.
1 year closer to arbitration.
The exploitation starts now.
Yeah. What? They're not manipulating the service time.
It's true. The fact that that was part of the argument, not that the Astros were having it, but part of the argument about why they wouldn't do it is why baseball is a little silly to me. Hey, we have nothing in right field. This guy we think can help us immediately, but service time.
So we might just wait.
We might be a worse team on purpose and wait because we want to delay this. You're not serious, people, baseball.
For me, the delaying it happening is like, can we see this guy play minor league games?
If that was the point, I would agree.
That was why I was always like, are we sure we like need to do this?
But a reason to do it simply because you want to delay service time, when you actually believe he would help you now, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But if it was actually, hey, we're not sure about it, give him a couple more
at-bats. This guy who's played right field for 3 spring training games?
If it was on-field stuff, and that was the cause of a delay, I'd be all for it. That's a baseball decision. The other stuff is just, well, it's called manipulation for a reason. Yeah. All right, so that happened.
How do you feel that the Astros did this?
I don't like it.
Oh.
Okay. That wasn't clear from how I was talking about it. To be clear about it, I like that Cam Smith is on the opening day roster. I don't like that they made a made-for-social-media moment for
They're
around
fighting
it.
For clicks, we're fighting for wins.
There you go, Dan Lanning. There you go.
There's a difference.
The Astros are the Colorado.
They're fighting for clicks, not wins. They should have announced it 2 days ago.
They knew.
But they had to wait.
They weren't waiting on anything other than making sure they can get his family in a town.
Yeah, Cam Smith's parents to get on an American Airlines flight. That's what they're waiting.
They couldn't have got on Jim Crane's PJ?
No. Hell no.
What's he up to?
What are you talking about?
What's he up to? Flies. If you're going to go all in, just fly him on the PJ.
Way cheaper. Here's a middle seat.
I know. A middle seat? They couldn't even get first class? Well, they came in on Southwest. I don't know where he resides, where the Smith family resides. I don't know.
He went to Florida State? I don't know. Is he from Florida?
No idea. I didn't do that type of research. But either way, they were in town for the moment, and the Astros filmed it. With the ring light to get it done. No mic, but a ring light.
He is from Florida.
Okay, so Southwest flies out of Florida. I guess it just depends on what part. So everyone's happy. We got our guy, and we get to see him, Altuve, and likely Jake Myers to start.
Yeah.
As we're
the big three.
This is more like the Kings were saying, Sabonis and Fox and DeMar DeRozan were a big three. It's a big three because we want to just put a name on it. Like, what are the legitimate big threes? The one that happened in Miami, you give the Celtics one. Would you even give it to Clay along with Katie and Steph as a big three?
I think so.
They get the real big three title.
Yeah.
Anyone else fit the bill?
Or maybe, I guess with Katie. That is better than the Draymond one.
Yeah.
Because that is basically what the Boston big three was.
Yeah.
It's a shooter, but more defensive-minded big man.
And the
best offensive player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
We don't have a big three. We'll see if it works.
I mean, what's a big three to a core seven tell?
I meant in baseball.
Oh.
I meant the Astros.
I thought you meant the current Rockets.
No. We'll get to
the core seven.
We'll get to the Rockets when we come
Twice
back.
Twice as many.
Ime had an update on one of the core seven. Who was out. Another member didn't play either. Amon didn't play either. Didn't matter for like the first, let's say, 40 minutes of the game. Maybe that's too many. Maybe the first 36 minutes of the game. It didn't matter. And then it got tight in the fourth quarter. But the Rockets found a way. Okay, Willie P, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. We will talk some Rockets as well. And also, Stephon Diggs found a new team. He's back in the AFC East. For a lot of money. So for all the talk about him giving up money and wanting to get to free agency, turns out an ACL doesn't keep you from getting paid. It only takes one team, a desperate team, and Stephon Diggs took advantage of that. We'll talk about that and more when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Rockets hold off the Hawks. Jalen Green not only had a big night, had big moments in the fourth quarter. He had an and one to get some separation. Rockets started knocking down some threes to get some distance, and still the Hawks fought back. But they hold off that team, bounce back win after losing to the Nuggets. We'll get more into that, but let's get to Willie P. Willie P., what's up?
Oh, yeah. How can you turn this off?
I don't know what you're
hello?
Doing.
Hey, what's up? Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry, yeah, no, I live in the heights, so my backyard is Buffalo Bayou, so like once a week I have to fog my backyard for mosquitoes. So that's what I was doing in between the call. But anyways, good morning, guys. Love the show. Always listening. So I have four questions for you real quick. Quick questions. So first question has involved the U.S. men's national team. So I saw a lot of discourse on Twitter and other spaces where people are like, you know, we're better off. We should have kept Berhalter over Pochettino. We're regressing under Pochettino. We're going to have a worse showing at this next year's World Cup than we did at the previous World Cup with Pochettino. I want to get your opinion on that, one. Two, how come, you know, ever since Berhalter had the falling out with Gio Reyna at the World Cup, how come he gets called up now by Berhalter and now by Pochettino, but doesn't get to see any game time? I don't understand that. I hear on these broadcasts, you know, we have a game changer on the bench in Gio Reyna. We have a playmaker, somebody who can change the flow of the game, but yet he never seems to get a look. I mean, it's always the MLS guys coming in first. So I want to know what the deal is with that. Three, I don't know if you saw the Sky Sports debate where the one female and the guy were talking about the best strikers of the 2000s. And the guy was like, 08 Ronaldo is hands down the best striker or best forward of the 2000s in Premier League. And the girl who was like born in 2000 was like, no, the best striker of the 2000s Premier League is Mo Salah. I mean, she's tripping, right? Like, there's no way you can compare Mo Salah to what Ronaldo did with that year when Man United won. When he won the Ballon d'Or, they won the Champions League versus Chelsea out in Russia. They won the Premier League 3 years in a row. That was just insane to me. And then last thing, with Harry Kane scoring his goal the other day, then the other debate was, who's a better forward, all-time great forward for England, Harry Kane or Wayne Rooney? My opinion, I believe that if Wayne Rooney's playing in today's time, he would be the most expensive forward in the world because of his work rate. I mean, the goals he scored, just his tenacity and dedication to the game. But everybody voted Harry Kane as the best striker in England's history. And I'm like, he hasn't won anything. And he's choked in, what, the Euro finals, the World Cup semifinals? So I just thought that was crazy. But anyways, I just want to get your opinion on that. I'll hang up and listen. You guys have a great day. Sean A. Mace, what do you do, baby?
So this time, because he said four things, I took a couple notes.
I also started writing down each
one. I will say that the couple guys you are backing are Man U guys. So it wasn't lost on me that you're taking Ronaldo on Man U versus Salah on Liverpool. You're a Man U guy. And also Wayne Rooney, another Man U guy, versus a Tottenham guy, now a Bayern Munich guy. You mentioned Harry Kane and what has he won for England. You mentioned him choking. How far did England ever go in a major competition when Wayne Rooney was their striker? Like as much as we can dunk on England because it's funny, because they always think they're God's gift to the sport of soccer, they have accomplished much more in Harry Kane's time over the last 6 to 8 years as far as a soccer-playing nation than Wayne Rooney's team ever did. So maybe that's where some of that's coming from. We talked about Albert Sengun yesterday and making an all-star game, even though he's having a worse year than he did last year. Winning matters. And Wayne Rooney, great Premier League player, great forward for England. But England didn't win anything under him, didn't accomplish anything with him. And I'm not blaming him. That's just how it is. So I think that plays a part. As far as goals scored for England, Wayne Rooney scored 53 in 120 appearances. As I bring up Harry Kane, as we fulfill our soccer obligation for the day, 71 in 105. So Harry Kane, a more prolific goal scorer. His teams accomplish more. I'm going to give it to Harry Kane. Maybe you're treating Wayne Rooney like he's Dion, and he got that aura about him.
He just had to be there for
Rooney. I was for both. And Harry Kane, I've seen Harry Kane play in finals and semifinals of big tournaments. Never saw Wayne Rooney do that for England.
No, but rings. Rings.
He doesn't have
domestic
those.
Domestic rings.
Okay. Yeah.
Club rings.
Harry Kane has never won anything in England. Tottenham never could. I think they made one, a Champions League final, didn't get that. And then his first year in Bayern, at Bayern, they don't win it either, I believe. Or maybe that was the second year. I think he's won one since he's been there. But I'm taking Harry Kane. Sorry. You lose there. As I don't remember Ronaldo so much. And he's talking about the Portuguese one, not the Brazilian one, for people who maybe not don't know the difference. Mo Salah has been great for Liverpool. Ronaldo was great. I hate these back and forth debates.
Right, give me Drogba.
Ooh, I like me some Drogba. Drogba. He scored the final goal in a Champions League penalty kick final.
Mm-hmm. Killer instinct.
He scored the tying goal in late in the game.
Clutch gene.
After Bayern had taken the lead. And he did it against Bayern in Bayern's building.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't afraid of the moment. I love me some Drogba.
I just remember him being awesome when I was a kid and knew like five soccer players.
Yeah, he was one of them.
He was one of the non-Team USA guys that I knew.
Yeah, I get it. I that was back when I started to watch international soccer a lot, and Drogba was one of those dudes and was after that as well. So I don't want to hear any Ronaldo solid debates. Yeah. What about Drogba? As far as the
I like how we're basically the Kobe guys.
And LeBron and Jordan. What about best Premier League strikers? Drogba's got titles. He's got a Champions League win. Big moments in the Champions League final. What are we talking about here? As far as the U.S. national team. We all remember the Berhalter moments, right? What game are we playing here? Oh, they're going to have a worse year, worse time in the World Cup than they did under Berhalter. You mean losing in the second round? That was the peak of Berhalter's time here. So if Pochettino doesn't get out of group stage, then sure. But if he loses in the second round of a World Cup, we're used to that. That's what we always do. Of course, it's at home, so we think we should advance further. But I remember the Berhalter days. I'm not playing this game where I pretend like that didn't happen and that wasn't miserable.
Also, are they expanding the World Cup for this World Cup, or is it the one after that?
I think it's 48 this year.
Okay, so they are expanding.
Because of, I don't know exactly why, other than, hey, it's more money and more matches, but I think it's 48.
FIFA, it's like, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to...
We're FIFA. What are you talking about?
It's going to affect the competition and the quality of
it. Who cares?
But more matches, more inventory, more money.
Yeah. Don't you want to see Madagascar make the World Cup?
Not particularly, no.
Ah, come on.
I understand it. I don't like it, but I get it. I'm not fighting progress, but I can register my disdain for
that. I've never watched the World Cup. Be like, man, I wonder what the 16 worst teams would do.
16 worst teams. How would they fare in the World Cup? We already got games where teams get beat 7-1. Let's get more teams who, although what they're going to do, which actually is going to do, they're going to open it up to more teams who, you know. There are certain regions of the world that are worse than others. So a team that is much better than another team that qualifies out of a different region will play. So we might get better games because there will be better teams, but there will also be some worse teams as well.
So it's five SEC teams making the playoff.
That's a nice way to put it. Instead of
one, maybe two. Now it's going to be
four or five. So they're going to be better quality teams, but they're also have to give chances to the other teams in worse regions of the world, and they'll get opportunities.
CONCACAF ain't played nobody, Paul.
They never do, really, because it's CONCACAF.
I don't want to see whatever the abbreviation for Asia is. They can't do it.
Can we get Paul Feinbaum and Greg McElroy doing this thing for the World Cup where they bitch about the dilution of the World Cup because
I can't believe you left off Estonia.
Because a, I don't know, a fifth team from Oceania gets in or something like that?
Yeah.
I wish we had
What would Vegas have New Zealand versus Luxembourg, huh?
Oof. It is the World Cup, but I may stay away from that match. That's one match I might not watch.
Hey, now there's 48 teams confirmed.
We got it. We got
producer of Soccer Matters, Brian McDonald, texted me saying it's 40.
I also did look it up. I had it already. I typed it in. We're good here.
We got two sources on
appreciate it. Appreciate it, Brian, for confirming it. Yeah, the internet and Brian has told us it's 48 teams.
Our show's soccer expert, Brian McDonald.
Yes. We're going to have a lot of teams we've never heard of or have heard of but don't care anything about and don't know oh, that player plays for that team? There's going to be a lot of that in this upcoming World Cup, which the U.S. will be a part of. They're not currently on a great track, but it's a year plus. We'll
see. Thank God they don't have to qualify for this one.
We've seen that not happen
in
recent history.
Thank God they get in because they're hosting.
Yeah. Argentina, the defending champion, used to be a guarantee. The defending champion used to be a guarantee. Now they had to qualify, and they did that this week, and then they embarrassed Brazil like 4-1. Brazil got embarrassed by their continental rival in a game. So thanks, Willie P, for that. That's probably our soccer stuff for the week, although anytime he calls in, it's pretty much about soccer. And he was pushing his Man U agenda. You didn't sneak that by me. Saw what you were doing. It's not the show for that. If Fulham can beat you in Old Trafford, I don't want to hear any of your Man U agenda. All right? All right. We are way late. We'll get to the Rockets when we come back. It was an anxiety-driven win at the end, but they found a way. So we'll talk about that when we come back. But before we do that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks. And with baseball here tomorrow, it is such a great time to get on Prize Picks, because part of Prize Picks is the variety. You have college basketball. You have, obviously, the professional basketball. You have baseball starting off. You have hockey still going strong. Soccer that we talked about all segment. I don't know if they have any Didier Drogba senior tour lines, but you can do it on Prize Picks. Golf with the Masters coming up. You're going to have a sport you like if you're listening to my voice. It'll be available on Prize Picks, and you can make some money off of it. I have just put together a lineup for in celebration of opening day for the Astros. Give me Clay Holmes and Framber Valdez to allow less than half of a first inning run. I think the first inning of the season, I think we get out of it scoreless. And then to three times my money, Cooper Flagg, the special. Cooper Flagg needs to score more than half a point against Arizona in the Sweet 16. I think he can do it. I just need a clean inning from Framber Valdez and Clay Holmes. And I have three times my money on Prize Picks. You can too by downloading the app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to make that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So the Rockets were up 94-74 going into the fourth quarter. Everything was easy. They had a lead of, I believe, 25 points. That was their largest lead of the game. And then over the next, didn't even take that long, over the next like 4.5 minutes, let's say 5.5 minutes. The Hawks went on a 20-4 run. It's 98-94, and you credit Jalen Green for a couple of big buckets. To our point yesterday, we're giving him a lot of credit for making free throws. He made a shot and then had a chance for a 3-point play and missed it. KJ sent me a tweet about it. Ah, they missed another one. This one wasn't as consequential. It was a little earlier in the game.
DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
We talked about it, and there it is again. It was 102-94 at the time of his miss. So that wouldn't even be defined as clutch, according to NBA rules, the time of the game and also the difference in points. But they find a way. Jabari hit a big three, a couple on consecutive possessions. He made a couple threes, and that's after the Hawks had missed a couple threes after they got offensive rebounds. So they find a way. Jalen knocked down another jumper. It was a nice back half of that fourth quarter until the Hawks kept knocking down shots late. You felt pretty comfortable. Like, you're up 114-103 about 2.5 minutes to go. Alperen made a layup, and then the Hawks kept knocking down shots, and the Rockets, as they are somewhat prone to do, had poor possessions. And they were bailed out by their shot making. And, of course, Fred made his free throws, which we know he is capable of doing it down the stretch. So they held him off. Won that game 121-114 after it got a little ugly midway through the fourth quarter, and then the Hawks made another push. So you take that as a win, you move on. And right now you're just trying to find a way to maintain a lead that, because of the rest of the West and their losses, even with the loss to Denver, you're actually still gaining ground, because they had a back to back. They lost on Monday night. And the Grizzlies are not playing well. The Lakers are in the midst of a 3-game losing streak, and then the Warriors, who were never going to catch you, have lost a couple as well. So right now, it's you and the Clippers. That would be the matchup right now, and that will still be decided, because the Warriors are only half a game ahead of the Clippers. So that feels like something that's going to come down to the wire. The other teams, like the Lakers would have to be really bad down the stretch to be in danger of making the play-in. They're likely not going to catch the Rockets 3 games back. So if you're looking at likely opponents right now, it's the Clippers, the Warriors, or the Wolves. And the way they play the Clippers this year, I'd welcome that matchup. Of course, Kawhi's playing better. The Clippers are playing better. It's 8 out of 10 they've won. I wouldn't want a hot, healthy Clipper team. Come on, they're not going to be both good and healthy at the same time. So I don't think we have to worry about it.
And if they have to come through the play-in, if you're the 2-seed.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to. And knowing the Clippers, they would lose a home game and have to win another one. And then you wouldn't have to deal with them. 100%. That's just how they are. So if we're going by lack of trust in the Clippers, expect the Warriors or the Wolves as your opponent.
I'd say those are the more likely teams. Although the Lakers, the Rockets do have 2 games against the Lakers, so they can the Lakers can make up that ground.
Yeah, that's
pretty
true.
Easily. Because we're looking at the end of the Rockets' schedule. Like I think we've talked about this just when we're looking at the easy part of their schedule, which they're wrapping up against the Jazz, the Suns, then they go to the Lakers, and then they get another Jazz game. And then the last 5 games of the season, Thunder, which might be actually an easy game because they'll rest everyone, they're still a pretty good team if they're resting.
Yeah, they're the not effing around crew. So even when you think they may not be trying, they will try.
Oh, great. Kayson Wallace is going to...
And maybe
he turned into Kobe tonight.
And maybe Shea will just play a game you don't expect him to play. Stuff like
They're not going to shun Rand for a week, 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And then you go to Golden State. Then you go to LA to play the Clippers and Lakers. And then you finish at home with the Nuggets. So that's all the West teams right there. And you play them to end your season down the line. Now, again, with the different scenarios, we don't know. You know, maybe the Nuggets are searching for a matchup that they really want. Or maybe... Jokic still doesn't play because he's now been out for like five straight games. Like, this is not you're just resting him if you're sitting him in a close race five straight games.
I think the report came out either Sunday or Monday that he was expected back for the homestand. Now, he did not play in their first game back in the second night.
Yeah, he didn't play against the Bulls.
So, will he play against the Bucks tonight? Don't know. We know someone who won't be there is Damian Lillard. Lillard is out indefinitely. It's just been not good. I can't think of anything else to say about the Bucks and where they've been late in the year after the acquisition. Going back to last year, he and Giannis were hurt. They got knocked out in the first round by the Pacers, I believe. And this year, he's out indefinitely. And considering it's a blood clot, he's probably not going to play in the first round.
Yeah, they said that they're optimistic that he could return this year. And I from what I gather, it's because the blood clot was found in his calf, and therefore it's like less serious of a thing than
blood clot serious, but
a
not
shoulder or and then definitely like lungs or whatever.
Yes, those are. Those get scary. Now, they're prioritizing his health. All the statements you hear are all about that. It'll simply be about how they can manage that. He's on blood thinners, and, of course, that could be dangerous as well. So there's a chance he's back, but there's also the chance that they're not going to chance it, and he might miss a significant amount of time if he's back at all.
Yeah, he'll have to try like ramp up in the first round of the playoffs, and the Bucks are a team that are going to have to play a pretty competitive – first round playoff series, likely against either the Knicks, the Pacers, maybe the Pistons, but probably not. Probably more like the Knicks or the Pacers, who are both teams that I'd favor in that series, especially without Dame. I mean, we saw what Pacers versus shorthanded Bucks look like last season. They handled them pretty easily. So we'll see. But yeah, that's just really the Bucks have just in total had pretty terrible luck, especially with the timing of their injuries, where guys are getting hurt in the first round or right before the first round of the playoffs. But this still will be another year where they don't make it out of the second round after winning the title.
Yeah, since their title, we've got a Middleton injury. You've got Giannis getting hurt.
Yeah, missing like half the Heat series.
He got hurt early in the first game of that series and then came back in game
four.
Came back in game four and Jimmy goes off for 56. And then game five happens, a disaster for them at home. So, and then, of course, last year where he and Dame were dealing with things. So they made a move to prolong the championship window. They didn't think Drew Holiday could be that guy anymore for them. Of course, Drew Holiday goes to Boston and wins, and they're even still with Cleveland being the number one seed in the East. A lot of people still think the Celtics are taking that if they have to play each other in the series. Drew Holiday's been a main component of that. And Dame, better player, but just a guy who hasn't been healthy when they've needed him most, and not certainly blaming him for it. It's just how it's turned out. The Rockets, on the other hand, hope that Tari Eason will be healthy. He took a couple shots yesterday. I was wondering, is Tari going to get up? He was able to finish the game. Amen didn't play, and Reed Shepard missed yesterday's game and continues to miss time. But we do have Ime. We'll get to him before we wrap it up. Ime Udoka talked about, I believe it's over there, Reed Shepard and his return and where he's at and how close he is to returning.
It's going well. He much less pain, obviously, at this point. Can take the splint off part-time when he shoots and works out. I think he had a scan 2 days ago and showed good calcification of the bone. And so I think in the next 4 to 5 days, we should hear more and evaluate him from there.
Reed Shepard can be back in time for the playoffs to not play. Is that what we think?
I was going to say, this is like the least consequential injury update, like positive injury update that you could get for a guy you drafted third overall.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be able to get time in games that no longer matter for the Rockets late. He'll get extended time. That would be great.
Yeah. Maybe if they're up 30 in a playoff game.
Or maybe he just starts the last couple games of the regular season because you're resting guys.
That too.
Up 30 in a playoff game, we wish.
Hopefully. Just 25, you know, the Warriors didn't show up for a game two, and because they got their one in game one.
They came in and got their one. Yeah, that'd be great. I think Reed Shepard, if he does play extended minutes the rest of the way, it's because a lot of guys aren't playing the final couple games of the regular season, and that's kind of how his season has gone. He started one game when guys are out and played great, and he was like, that's cool. Bye.
All right.
And then he got hurt.
See ya.
Thanks for your contributions. Doesn't mean anything. Cam Whitmore's been talking about that. Well, he said it once. He hadn't said it again because I'm sure they had a conversation. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how well I play.
We did say that I made a core seven remark, and he said, well, two of them didn't play. And I thought, can Whitmore play? Because I think three of them might not play.
I don't consider him part. I know he's part of the core seven. I think they're barely a core six.
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise with Reed Shepard. They're a core five. And then one of the core five can't play back-to-backs. So maybe they're just a core four.
Okay.
At this point. Jabari, Amen, Jalen.
Core four and a Shagun. Half.
Yes, because Tari will play.
Plays half of them. And I saw, of course, some Rockets stat, some Rockets fan stat, where the Rockets have won the last, like, 11 games that he started or something. I'm like, well, they've lost like three games since the start of this.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
This stat.
I wouldn't actually just hand it all to him is the reason why that's happening. But however you want to dole out credit, you're more than welcome to maneuver any guy you want to get the bigger piece of the pie. All right, we'll wrap up hour one with that. We'll come back with more. If you want to call in, you can 713-780-3776. There's a revival coming. I don't know if you watched the show when you were growing up, Sean. I picked it up on reruns. I didn't watch it first run. But one of the key members is gone. Do you know who Dewey is? Does that name strike a chord with you? The name Dewey in television?
No, not off the top of my head.
I'll explain it when we come back. Hour two, get started in a couple minutes.